Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in the studio today, Ed Bondarenko. Ed, welcome.
Hey there, thank you.
Hey, so the great debate this week, and I missed it this afternoon. The Gettysburg address that Trump just did sounds like it went very well. I think Ed down the hall here said it was very good, so I can't wait to get home and check it out myself. But things are moving up, despite what the pundits in the media and the mainstream media is trying to push, that this is just a lost election for Trump. I'm actually feeling quite confident.
I'm feeling not confident, but I'm feeling, what's the word, expectant. Yeah. I really think we can do this. In fact, there's a part of me that feels that we may see a lot more than we expected to see. I'm really hoping to be surprised. I'm still saving the fireworks that I bought for 2012.
Well, there you go. You know, we've been doing this. Last week was actually my fifth anniversary show. And I forgot all about it until this week.
Happy anniversary.
We've been doing this for 5 years here. And I want to thank all the listeners that have been regular callers. And thank Brandon, who's not here right now, but thank him for spending 3 or 4 of those years with me, and all our regular guys that call in. So thanks very much to all of you. And Derek, thank you for bearing with me now for 5 years. It's been a long, long road. Let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour is Regency of Whitmore Lake, 734-449-4431. If you're looking for some subacute rehabilitation, or you just need some help for one of your older folks, or you're getting out of surgery, Regency of Whitmore Lake is a great place. They have great staff. It's a brand new one. They renovated the facility, so they got a lot of really nice things in there. You can go to siennahealthcare.com to check it out, C-I-E-N-A healthcare.com. That's siennahealthcare.com. Or give them a call, 734-449-4431. It's just down the street from my house. It's a really great place. So if you need a little help, if you're older or sickly or you had something go on surgery-wise, give them a call. Okay, so the debate, Ed. You watched the debate. You said you missed the first half hour. But for me, it was another clear win for Trump, I think.
Yeah, I think so. He really nails her on quite a few of the issues. And as far as I'm given to understand, my wife was listening in my office while I was out on the floor working, and she said that the abortion thing went very, very well for Trump, that when he came out pro-life and forced her into the kill the babies that comes out of the womb position.
Right. Yeah, it was pretty harsh. And, you know, if nothing else, that would solidify the base of pro-lifers and maybe some of those never-Trumpers, too, who are like, he's not conservative enough. Well, you know, whenever I hear that argument, my blood just boils because, you know, people who say he's not conservative enough are the same people who voted for Romney, who support Paul Ryan, who support Mitch McConnell. None of those guys are talking about sealing the borders and stopping immigration. I mean, they're funding everything Obama throws at them. So yep. It's crazy when they say, oh, he's not conservative enough. You're an idiot if you think he's not conservative enough. He's as conservative as anybody out there, maybe not Ted Cruz, but he's as conservative as anyone else that's run. You know what I mean?
And for those who at one point, like myself, did not see him as conservative or not and question that, I was just in a discussion with a guy online this morning. I said, it's the positions. I'm not voting for the person at this point. You do not have to worry about whether he is, you know, combs his hair to the left or right, whether he's loud and bombastic or, you know, used a few bad words on a videotape when he was on a hot mic. No, you don't have to worry about that at all. You have to worry about your Second Amendment rights being preserved. SCOTUS, you've got to worry about the Supreme Court. You've got to worry about regulatory powers that should not be exceeded by the regulatory agencies as if they were the legislators. There's so much to worry about to not get stuck on petty personality issues.
Yeah. This is not just an issue of election of issues. It's an election of survival. And when I was driving into the station, I was listening to Matt talking about, you know, big government versus small government. And it occurs to me, you know, when Obama took office, he inherited $10 trillion in debt, right? And that's the debt accumulated over every president from George Washington forward. I'm sure I'm not blaming all of them for it, but $10 trillion for 200-odd years of country's debt, right? And in 7.5 years, Barack Obama doubled it, right?
Yeah, to double it, that's some—
Doubled
that's
it to $20 trillion. Now, let me ask you, why are we not all burping rainbows and riding unicorns for the $10 trillion that got spent in the last 7.5 years? Things should be perfect. Listen, if the Democrats were honest and truthful and could do everything that they keep promising, we'd all be eating ham sandwiches and riding unicorns. That's what we would be doing right now. But they failed. They doubled the debt and failed us because people are poor. People are more angry. Our military is weaker. We don't have as many ships, guns, missiles, or anything else. Where did the $10 trillion go?
You know those guys that walk behind the horses in a parade with the shovels? I'm thinking that the guys who walk behind Obama's promises are the only shovel-ready jobs.
You know, they treat us like the American people. We are the ones picking up the garbage, and that's all we're getting.
Yep.
You know, we don't get the oats and honey. We get the garbage coming out the other end.
Yep. All those promises of jobs and infrastructure improvements, where did they go, and where's the cash?
Yeah, if they were—
Probably went the same place that the $6 billion that Hillary lost to the State Department went.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, I'm glad that the debate, because you know what, if nothing else, Donald Trump stood up and said things at that debate that no other Republican would have dared to say to her. You know, yes, he got ribbed for calling her a nasty woman. Well, you know what? It's the truth. The truth hurts. Sorry, folks, if that bothers you. She is a nasty woman.
Ask any of her Secret Service people. Ask her. Ask the state troopers who guarded her in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
No, she is a nasty person. It's documented.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was telling my boss, Nate. Hi, Nate. I was telling my boss
hey,
this.
Plug.
He hadn't heard those very things. No, Nate wants a link to the show. He says he wanted to hear it, and so I thought I'd give a shout out. So you were saying, though.
Oh, well, he brought out the emails, and you know, and this is what made me mad about Chris Wallace, and I'm hoping tomorrow on Fox News Sunday or whatever he's going to make up for it. But he asked her about the WikiLeaks, and she pivoted, and even Donald said, yeah, nice pivot. You just walked away from that one, and Chris didn't follow up and say, wait a minute, you know, you've got a plethora of emails coming out saying everything from calling Hispanics taco bowls and calling air. You know what? That's what kills me. They want to call Trump the racist. Have you not seen the WikiLeaks?
Oh, the Podesta breaking people down into ethnic and religious and organizations, and then Sanders down at the bottom all by himself. Oh, we got the military. They had binders full of people.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, if it weren't for the media covering up for her, this would be it. She wouldn't get 10% of the vote because her campaign has said nasty things about Hispanics, about Arabs. Use the sand N-word with Arabs. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And she can get away with it and call him a racist? He's never said that.
Well,
you know?
Like Trump said at the L. Smith dinner, he says, you know, I got to meet Hillary's campaign people tonight. They're seated out there. The head of NBC, the head of CNN, the head of ABC, campaign organization.
I watched the dinner, and I watched her speech, and I watched his speech. And, yeah, maybe a little out of normal, but, you know, it needed to be said. It's time for that to be just brought out. And you know what? He may have gotten some grief for it, but that's what Trump does all along. And the emails are what's really should be hurting her, and people just aren't paying enough. So we're going to bring this is Sarah Westwood. She's got a nice little track. Derek, you got the first one ready? This will bring you up to speed on some of the emails, stuff that's coming out in the emails. Run it.
Recently, the Clinton Foundation was forced to refile 3 years' worth of tax forms in the state of New York because they were out of compliance with Charity Bureau's requirements. That's significant because there has been a lot of controversy about the fact that the Trump Foundation was not legally registered with the Charities Bureau to solicit funds in New York. The New York Attorney General made public appearances, media interviews, and released the cease and desist letter he sent to the Trump Foundation. But the Attorney General's office was much quieter about the fact that the Clinton Foundation was also out of compliance with state laws regarding nonprofits.
Okay, stop it right there, Derek. You didn't see any of that on the news. They're bashing Trump for, and it didn't stick because he is like the Teflon Don on many of these things. She's guilty of the same thing at the Clinton Foundation, and not one word out of the media on this. Are you kidding me?
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked.
All right, keep going, Derek.
We also had another release of Hillary Clinton emails. This time, we were looking at correspondence between employees of the Clinton Foundation and staff members at the State Department. Shows a close level of coordination between Clinton Foundation employees and State Department staff on a number of issues, from Bill Clinton's day-to-day schedule to policies that the State Department was going to pursue. This is significant because Hillary Clinton has emphatically denied that there was any connection between her foundation and her State Department duties. These emails, roughly 200 pages of them, shed more light on the fact that the Clinton Foundation was very closely intertwined with Hillary Clinton's State Department. One interesting email showed Clinton Foundation employees and State Department staff were brainstorming on ways to avoid the appearance of, quote, untoward influence from the fact that Bill Clinton was set to rake in six-figure sums from entities with interests in the Keystone Pipeline project that was then under review by Hillary Clinton's State Department. Hillary Clinton has already been accused of having uncomfortably close ties to the lobbyists and the banks that were pursuing the Keystone Pipeline project that she indicated she would support until she started running for president. Another email showed Clinton Foundation officials and State Department staff were very unhappy with a Weekly Standard article written in 2011 that was critical of the administration's position towards Israel. Clinton Foundation employees and State Department staff conspired to, quote, burn the author of the piece by releasing edited transcripts of that event. The, quote, blogger who wrote the piece was Elliot Abrams, a well-known member of the Bush and Reagan administrations. And finally, a Washington Examiner review of federal records shows that 60% of the appointments Hillary Clinton made to an advisory board she created in 2011 went to donors to her campaigns or foundation. This is significant because Hillary Clinton has adamantly denied that any actions she took at the State Department were influenced by her connection to the Clinton Foundation. But certainly the high volume of donors who received cushy government positions raises questions about that.
All right, so this shows pay for play everywhere. I mean, as Secretary of State, the Clinton Foundation, everything she's setting up, and that's clear in the Obama administration, too. I mean, they were literally ambassadorships were for sale.
Yeah.
I mean, they were selling them to the people. These are people that weren't qualified. Just because you know French doesn't mean you should be the French ambassador, right? And some of these people didn't even speak the language, and they were literally, and shame on the Senate for allowing it. They should have just said, come on. This is a payoff for your donations. Why are you here? You're not qualified to be. An ambassador should be somebody who's come up through the executive ranks, right?
Typically, yeah. Although there have been political favoritisms. Actually, Reagan did it. But, you know, they're too obscure countries, you know, things we don't worry about, people who don't have nuclear weapons.
Allegedly.
Yeah, South allegedly. Africa.
Israel. Right. Yeah. No, right.
But, you know, as far as the pay to play, I realize she wasn't Secretary of State, but $12 million to the Clinton Foundation from the Moroccan King to have her speak. That was just a habit she had gotten into, negotiating better deals for herself and her foundation.
Yeah. And the Qataris giving Bill Clinton $1 million on his birthday for his birthday.
Yep.
And they end up getting a meeting with her. Hello.
I didn't get anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd like to get $1 million from the Qataris. Well, if you don't want to call into the show, you can always email, and I'll thank listener Don Miller for sending in. He sent in a list of 28 things that Donald Trump talked about today that he's going to do within the first 100 days, or try to do in the first 100 days, from the Gettysburg Address that he did today. And thank you, Don, for sending in. I'm not going to go over all 28, but we can certainly go over a few of them. First, propose a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Now, that's going to take all of us and Congress to do that. That's going to be a battle royale to get these congressional people to go along with that. Because let's face it, folks, those people in Washington, that 500 and what is it, 526, 544?
Yeah, at the trough.
At the trough in Congress alone. Those people don't want to give up those $170,000 jobs. Because why? They're exempt from insider trading. That's how they're all coming out as millionaires. They're insider trading while they're there.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that's going to be a tough one. But thank God that somebody said it. And you know what? That's the kind of thing I want to hear from a candidate.
It's a position that we can support.
I can support that. Absolutely. Institute a hiring freeze on all federal employees to reduce the federal workforce through attrition. Boom.
Oh,
great
idea.
He just
wants the support of realtors in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia.
Yeah. And here's one. I want to say he must have read something from me or listened to something from me from years ago. I've always said this. Require for every new federal regulation, two existing regulations must be eliminated. Well, for me, my thing was for every word, if you're going to do 500 words or 1,000 words, you need to remove 1,000 words from the regulations. That was the way I had put it. So that is an absolute must. That is a great thing, and I'm so glad that he brought it up. Institute a 5-year ban on White House and congressional officials becoming lobbyists after they leave government. But common sense, right? This is why I like Trump. I'm amazed that people are still out there, some of our never-Trumpers, who just won't buy this guy. I mean, these are all good things. It's like the SCOTUS that you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
He put out a nice list of people, and I'll still see people on Twitter who will say, yeah, he's not going to appoint somebody conservative as Supreme Court justice.
Well, I'm guaranteeing you that Hillary Clinton is not going to appoint somebody we want, and it's the binary choice.
Institute a complete ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. Well, you know what? Hillary Clinton right now is bought and paid for by Middle Eastern kingdoms,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, I want to say I thought it was 60% of her campaign has been financed over. I don't know if that's true. Don't call me and say, Gary, you're a liar. I thought I saw that. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're more than welcome to call in. Let's take a call from Will in Ypsilanti. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary, I gotta do my weekly with you, man.
Good to have you, man.
are we really surprised that she would pay to play while she's even serving as Secretary of State? This woman is so crooked. She takes, you know, every letter is S in her language, you know, because, you know, the problem with all of this is that we're sitting here worried about what Donald Trump did years ago with women that we have no we have no proof of any of this happening. Why come up with it now? But we have so much on this woman being dirty.
Yeah.
That it's hard to believe for me that anybody would ever vote for her. From what I understand, there are hardly any people that even go to her rallies. I guess they kind of crowd them all in to make it look big.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, she has. She
camera
has,
angle.
And Will, this is why I think the pundits are so wrong. I mean, Donald Trump fills stadiums and arenas 2-3 times a day. You're talking 5, 15, 20,000 people. She can't fill up half a gymnasium every other week, you know, once she gets off the meds.
I really do think that Trump will win. I think he'll pull it off and off. You know, and some of this business where they're digging up dirt from years ago with these women. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm the only boy in the family of, you know, three, four women that are in my life. I understand, you know, that certain things are going to be happening, but why come out and say, oh, he groped me years ago when he's running? How about try to nail him later or earlier, you know, especially with NBC? They would have wanted to cancel everything.
Absolutely.
Know?
And the man is worth anywhere between $5 and $10 billion. If those ladies had something that they could prove, they would have gone after him for some cash, right? Because he would have just paid it.
Mary Jo Kopechne and Ted still became senator. So
there you go. Left a woman to die.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, thanks for taking my call, fellas.
You got it, Will. Take care. All right. Yep. So thanks, Don, for sending that list of 28. I'll get that up on the Daily Drift this evening for tomorrow and put it up there. But, you know, one of the other things that came out was Haiti, right? Now, Haiti, the Clintons have bankrolled millions and millions and millions of dollars after the earthquake to help Haiti, right? But the problem is they never spent the money. And, Derek, you got track two ready? All right, let's play this. This is a guy interviewing, and I think it's an old representative from Haiti who was in New York at the time. Listen to what this guy from Haiti has to say about the Clintons.
We saw the investigations into where a lot of the relief funds for Haiti came into, and it
ultimately went nowhere to the people but big multinational corporations. And a lot of the people who are still dealing with that natural disaster never got any relief because all the money that was funneled into them, even through the Red Cross, even through the Clinton Global Initiative, which the Clinton Global Initiative sometimes uses and brags, like, look, we helped out Haiti. We did this for Haiti. What did they do for Haiti, and what's the current situation there?
What have the Clinton, not only Haiti, what have the Clinton done with their foundation? They don't help anyone. They're just enriching themselves, going, stealing people's money, resources. That's what they do. We're asking friends, the American friends, to stand up with us. This is unacceptable. We cannot allow this to happen. We are living in the 21st century. We cannot allow a liar, a crooked, a thief to be president. We cannot allow that to happen. If that happened, I will have no respect for America or United States anymore. Yeah. Because I used to believe America was the greatest country in the world, but there is no more justice anymore. Because the American justice is crooked. Look how they're supporting Hillary Clinton. This is unacceptable.
All right, so.
Well, you know, I've noticed on some news reports that there have been large protests in front of Hillary Clinton gatherings from the Haitian community. Now, that tells you it's not just this one guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a number of people who are upset, offended, insulted by the Clinton Foundation and by extension Clinton's treatment of Haiti and their problems that they're willing to get out there and protest on their own dime. They gain nothing from it. They're just that upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, people are still living in tents. Mm-hmm. All these years and all these millions of dollars later. And the media doesn't cover that. You wouldn't know there's a problem with Haiti because the media won't touch it.
I'm glad that Trump brought it up at the Al Smith dinner about you know, her book, It Takes a Village, and how she took a village.
She takes all the villages. Yeah. At least takes their money.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's literally criminal. It really is. And it just – and, you know, how people can even consider voting for Hillary at this point is beyond me. You have to be unpatriotic, heartless, and just plain ignorant to believe that this woman is an honest person.
Ignorant, to be ignorant is to be uninformed. I'm sure there are a number of people who are uninformed because they get their news from the Clinton campaign extension, yeah. You know, CNN, NBC. Yeah. And so they are uninformed. They don't understand what you and I and many of our listeners understand. And that's why we have to go out on social media and point these things out until, you know, our family unfriends us.
Yeah. I try not to unfriend people if I have to. Only if I get insulted enough, then I'll unfriend somebody. But normally I try to keep it as good as I can. But another thing she brought up, she went back to her classic in the debate. She said, oh, these WikiLeaks, trying to pivot off the content of the WikiLeaks to finding someone to blame and so she doesn't have to talk about it. Well, she blames Russia, right? She goes ahead and says, oh, it's Putin, your buddy Putin, Donald, that's helping you out with this campaign and blah, 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 and releasing all the WikiLeaks. Well, number one, any intel that Obama's administration would say, oh, it's the Russians are hacking, it's all Russian stuff. Number one, prove it, because I don't think you can, right?
Okay.
And number two, it wouldn't really matter, right? Should it matter?
They're not saying the Russians fabricated it. They're saying the Russians found it.
Yeah, I want the truth.
To which I say, thank you.
Yeah, what this should tell everybody, like Marco Rubio kind of said, yeah, we shouldn't be looking at the WikiLeaks. Marco, are you an idiot? Because, you know, frankly, if you are in government, you should be so transparent that everything you say, do, write, or whatever should be up and available for everybody to see. Don't do something sneaky and wrong while you're in Congress.
The most transparent administration.
Yes.
I love that when he got elected. We're going to have the most transparent administration.
I'm just astounded. Well, when we come back from the break, because we're running up on hard time here, I think, we're going to play something from Judge Napolitano. Now, Judge Napolitano is a Fox guy, right? And I'm tweeting all the time to the Brett Bears, the Britt Humes, and all those guys saying, listen, why are you guys still falling for this Hillary garbage of it's the Russians' fault? The Russians are doing the hacking. Even WikiLeaks is saying, hey, you know, you can't be blaming Russia on this. Do we got time to take this call, Derek? No. All right. We'll get him on the other side of the break here. But we're gonna play this track when we come back because I don't want to. How much time we got? 1 minute.
I got
30 seconds.
Okay.
I got 30 seconds.
All right. Go.
If the Russians are indeed behind WikiLeaks, then how come shutting down Julian Assange's internet at Ecuador shut up WikiLeaks? If the FSB was behind WikiLeaks, there'd be more coming. There'd be no stopping them.
Okay, but did they? Well, we'll cover this when we get back. All right, we'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks for listening into The Drift.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Donald Trump in Pennsylvania promising voters
the government of, by, and for the people.
Saying if elected, he would
impose term limits on members of Congress, a hiring freeze in federal government except for military, public safety, and public health employees.
Fox's Peter Doocy saying he would not approve a Time Warner AT&T deal. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that AT&T has reached a more than $80 billion deal to buy the media company. Hillary Clinton slamming Trump for not saying he'd support the winner of the election in Ohio yesterday.
We know in our country the difference between leadership and dictatorship.
And a toddler who died in a house fire in Spokane, Washington, found with his dog and teddy bear next to him. Authorities believe the dog stayed behind to try and protect the boy. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, open or cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more feature standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
You critics don't define our honor. You try to shame us for doing our job. You teach children to fear us, crowds to attack us, and good people to doubt us. But we will never back down from our sworn duty to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. We wake up every day, put on our badge, strap a gun to our hips, kiss our families goodbye, and put our lives between the law-abiding and any criminal who threatens their rights. We serve people of every color and creed, men, women, and children in violent, dangerous neighborhoods, because they have the same right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as CEOs, movie stars, and the political elite. We are Americans, and we are the American police officer. We stand with the National Rifle Association of America, and the NRA stands with us. Together, we're freedom's safest place.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. And you'll catch us later on tonight at Red Nation Rising. Or we're also on Spreaker and SoundCloud and YouTube, so you can find the Drift Radio Show just about anywhere on the internet. So catch it up on podcast later on if you miss it live. And catch the Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, every day for the news you need to know. All right, so we're talking about Hillary blaming Russia. This is what the media wants to do. This is what the Democrats and the DNC want to do. They want to blame whoever's releasing the WikiLeaks instead of accepting responsibility for the things that they say in there. That's the content that's the issue here, not who actually hacked it. Because I don't care who hacked it.
That's deflection.
That's deflection. That's exactly right. Well, Fox's own Judge Napolitano has his own take on this. And you know what? He's one guy that I would listen to and one guy left at Fox that I would really listen to. You got that one ready, Derek? All right, let's play this with Judge Napolitano. And he's not saying it's Russia that's hacking.
Welcome to my chambers. The hack on the Democratic National Committee, which exposed emails, continues to intrigue. The emails, which were exposed by WikiLeaks, revealed a very strong bias on the part of high officials in the Democratic Party for the candidacy of Hillary Clinton, and a very strong prejudice on the part of the same people towards the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. Even though such bias and prejudice had been alleged by Sanders and denied by the Democratic National Committee. It even resulted in the resignation of the chair of the committee as a result of a unanimous request from the members of the committee and the intervention of President Obama himself. But in order to get this issue off the front page, the DNC and the Clinton campaign decided to blame, of all people, the Russians. They accused Vladimir Putin of being in cahoots with Donald Trump and having his intelligence services hack the DNC to expose emails to make Mrs. Clinton look bad and thereby benefit Donald Trump. But the Russians had nothing to do with it, because this week, a 30-year veteran of the National Security Administration, the NSA, the domestic spies who spy on all of us all the time, the former high-ranking NSA official who developed the software that the NSA now uses, which allows it to capture not just metadata but content of every telephone call, text message, email in the United States, of every person in the United States of America. This individual said, guess what? The NSA hacked the Democratic National Committee. Why would the NSA hack the DNC? Because the members of the intelligence community simply do not want Hillary Clinton to be president of the United States, because she doesn't know how to handle state secrets, because some of the state secrets that she revealed use the proper true names of American intelligence agents operating undercover in the Middle East. When they lost their covers, they ran for their lives, and some of them didn't run fast enough and lost their lives. It's very telling that the intelligence community would feel so strongly about Mrs. Clinton that they would attempt to sabotage her campaign to prevent her from becoming their boss. It's also telling that these folks would break American law in order to, in their view, save it. Welcome to my channel.
All right, so there you go.
Fight the good fight.
I trust his advice and knowledge compared to anyone else on Fox. I really do. I love Judge Napolitano, and I'd love to see him take Antonin Scalia's spot on the Supreme Court.
Good.
You know
what
I mean? He'd be a good guy for
Attorney General.
But let's take care of a little business. I forgot to do it at the bottom of the hour. Cheryl Stockwell Academy in Brighton. If you're looking for a school choice option in Brighton, it's Cheryl Stockwell Academy, 810-632-2200. For your choice of innovation and character in schooling, this is the place to go. They've been there. They're celebrating 20 years. It's one of the oldest public academies in Michigan. So check them out, 810-632-2200. If you're looking to maybe in January get your kid out of a public school and into a private academy like that, check them out. Cheryl Stockwell Academy, 810-632-2200, celebrating 20 years. Let's take a call from Walter on line one. Walter, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, man. Hey, it sounds like I recognize another voice in that studio with you.
You got your buddy Ed.
Hey, Walter.
Hey, my man Ed. I tell you what, man, you sound like a natural on the radio.
When he called into as many shows as Ed does, yes, he might as well be, right? He's been calling you. You're no different, Walter. You guys always call into all these shows.
Oh, yeah, man. We the future talk show host, man. our day's coming. I tell you what. Aren't you guys at this point tired of hearing about Hillary, the silly Hillary, the Killary?
In 2 weeks, hopefully, we won't hear from her any longer, Walter. That's my
hope. No, just at the hearings.
That's a good one.
Where her defense will be at this point, what does it really matter?
They need to join the Bushes. Well, yeah, that's right. I said the Bushes. Get out of the Bushes. You remember that, Jesse Jackson?
Yep.
They need those big backstabbing crooks, along with Lindsey Graham, John McCain. He ain't no hero. I say that from day number one. Oh, I can hear you. listeners shouting me down by now on that one. But anyway, and all the rest of them that joined in the rebellion against Donald Trump, they ain't got sense enough to pour dog urine out of a boot, even if I gave them instruction manual. That's how silly they are. Because this man, especially in the last debate, all of them claim to be, a lot of them claim to be, you know, we the Republicans, we the conservatives, we believe in pro-life, no pro-choice. The man just showed that he was pro-life. That great answer he gave.
Yes.
He condemned partial birth abortion. If you ain't, these people that's against Trump, if they're not convinced by now, including the Supreme Court people that he's selecting himself, and then speaking to relating to the Christians, you can't get no better people to surround him than the name, the national household names he has picked on his pastor's advisory board or whatever.
Yep.
Names that we respect, and I think they include different races.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
On that loaded, go ahead.
Yeah, it's throughout this nasty sex tapes and everything else that they keep talking about, the evangelicals, most of them, have all hung in there. And the few that did walk away, some of them are coming back now.
Jeffers, Franklin yep. Graham. I mean, I'm not looking for, and I'll speak up for Mike from Ann Arbor. I'm not looking for pastor in chief. I am an evangelical Christian, and I vote my conscience. But I'm not looking for a pastor in chief, but I'm looking for somebody who will support my rights to practice my religion without having ungodly practices forced down my throat.
Right, right.
That's powerful, Ed. That is so powerful. You guys couldn't have said it no better. I tell you, that is so true. We're not voting in the pastor, but we're voting in a, if he gets in there, we're voting for a person who's going to reinforce pastors, who's going to reinforce U.S. Constitution, who's going to reinforce our faith, who's going to reinforce all those things and above across the board. Guns, go after the, you know, the hell raisers, you know. The people on the station, that one local station that, by the way, let me say something about that local station. I've been attacking people left and right. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. Dave Rohn told me to give him his name, and it's his name. He said some of them can call him. I know he'll tear him up. But anyway, and as well as you guys. Those people on that station are some of the most black racist people I've ever seen in the United States. Detroit, black, they are twice dead and plucked up by the root. No hope. And I'm talking about pastors that's on there that's got talk shows. I called one this morning. I said, don't you, I just heard him before I got on there. And he let me speak my mind. I said, you know what? In your little dialogue this morning, when you first opened up, I noticed that you were talking about take your souls to the polls. And take the souls to the polls from Detroit to vote for Hillary. I said, don't you know Hillary is against your faith? I said, just abortion alone, murdering babies, homosexuality. And you're endorsing people, you're going to drive them to the polls to vote for the Democrats?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, 50 years the Democrats have been in control in Detroit. If things were going to get better, they would have gotten better already. Because as Ed and I talked earlier, we've spent another $10 trillion in the last 7.5 years. If things were going to get better under a Democratic plan, they would have gotten better. But they haven't.
Yep. And you know what? They keep blaming Snyder. They talk about the same stuff every day. Every talk show host on there, they talk about the same stuff, including their callers. Their callers are full of hate.
Yeah, well, stop listening to Walter.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Stop listening to them. What else you got? I've got another call I got to take here.
I want to say this. Do you know, and I even got to a place where I tell them before it even happens, I say, you know what? When I get off this phone, your line's going to light up. And guess what? It comes to pass every time. When I say something real straightforward, real hard, and I talk about Osama Obama and his wife, her speeches from hell that she's been giving lately.
Yep.
Full out racist stuff. Do you know, when I get off that phone, most of the callers spend the rest of the show lambasting me and criticizing me. And by the way, I didn't call in yesterday or the day before. I just happened to turn on the radio at any given time. And do you know I heard my name on there? One person after another, like trying to.
So, Walter,
that's what I've been saying.
You're famous, Walter.
When are you going to get a show on that station?
That's right.
Walter.
You might be the token Republican down there, Walter. There you go. All right. Thanks for the call, man.
By the way, they had one. Between 12 and 2, they kicked him off.
Oh, great. Yeah, it was probably Wayne Bradley. All right. Well, thanks, Walter. Appreciate the call.
See you guys.
Take care. All right, line two, we've got candidate for the 12th Congressional District, Jeff Jones. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
Great to be here.
Jeff, before I let you say anything else, are you from Riverview by chance?
I am not. I get there's a three or four of us.
Okay.
Jeff Jones is in the 12th district, but I know that Jeff Jones.
Oh, do you?
He wears my T-shirts and comes to all my events. So
good.
We have kind of fun together. We're friends on Facebook.
Yeah, well, I went to school with him.
That's a coincidence. One of my neighbors is named Jones.
Mm.
You know, what's the odds?
Yeah.
What's the possibility of running into another Jones?
Yeah. Right. So Jeff, you're running against Dingell, right?
Yes.
And you're. It's an uphill battle, I know, for you down there. The Dingells are so entrenched. I don't know why people in Downriver continually go for the Dingell name. It's just, it's incredible.
Joe was saying earlier that he's not seeing a lot of Dingell signs.
Well,
you know, it's pretty interesting. You know, I'm getting no resistance, 99% acceptance rate on people's front porches and businesses. I get the same thing over and over again. And this was my pitch that I started with. You know, I say, ask yourself four questions. If you review the last 50 years of the 12th district, ask yourself this. Do you think that job opportunities are better than they've ever been or not? Do you think that your union is stronger than it's ever been or not? Do you think education is producing more productive students or not? And do you think your communities and municipalities are empowered, or do you think they're struggling? You know, and everybody answers the same way. I says, well, maybe you ought to change the way you vote because, you know, 82 years is enough.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Jeff, I grew up downriver, right? Born in Southgate and grew up in Riverview, graduated from Riverview High School. And I think the last time I was downriver was like last summer. I went down for a funeral for a friend down there. And Taylor's always been kind of sketchy anyway, even when I was a young boy. But I drove through Southgate, down Fort Street in Eureka and Riverview. And it looks, I mean, empty buildings. Empty shop fronts. I was amazed. I'm like, oh my God, Downriver has been left out of. If there is a recovery, Downriver didn't get it.
Yeah.
We, you know, I made several commercials. You know, one in front of the old Trenton Steel plant, one in front of the Rouge plant, one in front of that big mall that used to be over there at Dixon Southfield. The Sears is the only thing left standing, but it looks like a war zone. You know, and these are the results of John Dingell. You know, when he let Bill Clinton talk him into coming to sell us the lie of NAFTA, telling us that there were some parts that needed to come across the border to keep, you know, the auto workers moving from Canada. We said, yeah, let's support that thing. We had no idea that it meant 28 new plants opening up in Mexico and pension loss and job loss and, you know, and selling the 12th district down the tube. And now Debbie Dingell, she says that she's against the TPP, but she's already moved it forward in three different bills. So opened up free trade to 14 other countries while she's been there. And that's, I don't even know when she has the time because she's missed 36 sessions of Congress in her first 19 months anyway. So,
this
is the damage of the Dingells.
Well, I'm pulling for you, dude. It's a brave thing you're doing. I would love to see you win that. You know, I'm assuming you're on the Trump train, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're face to face, actually. I just got an email from Washington yesterday from the contested elections committee, anticipating that our race is actually going to be that close. So they gave me all their contact information. I've run the campaign hard, and I know the Dingell names. You know,
well, do this, for me, Jeff.
Debbie's not John, so we're winning that one.
Yeah, look me up on Twitter, look me up on Facebook, and I'll start pushing some of your stuff out for you because I've got a pretty good following on Twitter now and maybe that'll help. And you are more than welcome, sir, to call into this show next week.
Thank you.
We got 2 weeks. I think give yourself a plug next week. Call in and talk to us because let us know how you're doing. I would love to see you. It seems like it's an uphill battle down there, but maybe you'll pull a Trump off and actually win this one.
We think there's a Trump wave. There's a party that's only running one candidate in the 12th district. They took them 50,000 signatures to get on the ballot, called the Working Class Party. It was birthed in the UAW. We think that they're going to take about 30,000 to 40,000 votes on the ballot, and so it really levels the playing field. And our logo is hashtag We Believe. So if you type that in, kind of pulls it up. But that's what we're believing. That we're believing this is the year to dump the ding.
All right. Hey, Jeff, I would be one of your constituents and happy to be so. I'm a Nipsey Township. And I'm wondering where I get a sign.
Wow. Wow. We've been putting them out. They're at the Ann Arbor office, office right now. There's some signs left at the Republican office at, what is that, 2145, I think, State Street.
State Street. Oh, I know where that's at. Yeah.
Yeah, real good. And so, and as a, you know, as a, someone being in the ministry for 35 years, I can appreciate your last call or conversation. And most people don't realize that the word ekklesia in Greek actually translates Congress. It translated as church.
Assembly.
In the New Testament, which is okay. It's called out assembly, but the full definition is called out assembly to reestablish God's law. And so that's the direction we're going.
You know, Jeff, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I actually went to a Jeff Noble thing at Imagine a couple weeks ago thinking I was talking to you. It was funny, and I was telling about the Dingell's domination and about a documentary. I told Gary a couple weeks ago about a documentary I saw that mentioned John Dingell in 1954 as the representative of Flat Rock. And I'm from the Flat Rock area, and I was just stunned. I didn't realize they'd been there that long. It's time.
82 years, come on, you know.
Yeah.
It was the father. I think father started serving in like the early 1930s, and then John took over in the mid-50s, and then, you know, Debbie went her last 2 years. So, I just left the Ann Arbor Ipsy Black Chamber of Commerce an opportunity to go through candidate forum there. But we're making some great dent, and so appreciate you teaming with us.
Great. Well, Jeff, good luck to you, and I'll give a shout-out to any of my Downriver friends and family. Make sure you vote for Jeff Jones.
Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling
in. Goodbye.
All right, so, I'm a Downriver guy, man. And if you're a union guy and you're following the union rules, don't. Because you know what? They're going to ruin your lifestyle even more. There's not a union guy in Detroit or Downriver who should be voting Democratic.
I'm Downriver. I'm Downriver for years. And you go from Delray to Wyandotte. Until you get to Wyandotte, it's such decay.
Yeah.
My grandparents lived right off of Jefferson in Ecorse. And it just looks like some bombed out third world.
Yeah, used to be the Vulcan Steel, the one he was talking about, Trent. Mm-hmm. I think that was the Vulcan Steel Mill, maybe, as I recall.
There was McLouth.
McLouth, that was it, yes. Vulcan. McLouth.
My brother worked at McLouth.
And I used to lit up the sky. That was, you know, you'd be out in the evening in the backyard and the sky would light up. They were pouring the steel, you know, and that was a great plant. And then, gone. Thanks, NAFTA, we're done, you know. So terrible, terrible stuff. Well, the media also jumped on Trump for his last final question. And I thought this was kind of a sandbag because they didn't ask it of Hillary. He asked it of Trump. Are you going to concede the election if you lose? And Trump, of course, kind of pulled one of his Trumpisms. Instead of rationalizing why he would not say so, he said, I'll wait and keep you in suspense. And everyone got up thinking, oh, Donald Trump's going to start an insurrection if he loses. No. Donald Trump is not going to start an insurrection, but he's going to certainly do what other candidates have done in the past. If there is as much illegal voting and fraud in the election as we think there is, because there are some reports that there was 4 million fraudulent or illegal votes in 2012, right?
Ruth, our Secretary of State?
Johnson
says we have 105% voting registrations in this state.
Right.
And she's been narrowing them down since she's gotten in. But, you know, I mean, where do you get 105% of the population registered to vote?
Right. Well, there was another report, and I put it up on the Daily Drift last week, I think. 1.9 million people, dead people, are still on voter rolls. That's 2 million votes, right?
The joke was Grandpa was a Republican until he died.
Yes, that's right. 1.9. So there's a very good possibility that there could be anywhere between 2 and 5 million votes. You know, Romney lost, I think, by 5 million votes last time. Wasn't that it?
Three, I think.
Maybe. All right, maybe three. Well, if there was 2 million dead.
Supposedly it was the 3 million evangelicals who wouldn't support him.
Yeah.
Ken.
Or the 2 million dead people, because we all know dead people vote Democratic, right?
Yep.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But Derek, we have track four ready. Just to take it back, Al Gore didn't concede his election either. Listen to Al Gore in a press conference. This is a week, I think, after the initial election and everything hit the fan because of the hanging chads and everything else. So let's listen to track four.
Vice President, you said last week that you thought your chances were 50-50.
Yeah, I'll stay with that. I'll stay with that.
Even after the court rulings that have gone against you consistently the past 3 or 4 days.
Well, I think the U.S. Supreme Court ruling was neutral, may have even been slightly favorable to us in the sense that it gave a clear roadmap to the Florida Supreme Court. But those are things that the lawyers can tell you more about than I can. I just don't want to accept your premise that they've all been negative. I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court decision was negative. And as for the other decision yesterday, everybody knew from the start that that was going to be ultimately decided by the Florida Supreme Court.
All right, so Al Gore didn't concede. Weeks and weeks that went. He took it all the way to the Supreme Court.
If I recall, Al Gore conceded and then took back his concession.
That's exactly right.
You know?
And, you know, you can't blame Trump for saying, yeah, I'm not going to just concede. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to know if there's 2 million dead people voting for Hillary Clinton and that threw the election, or 3 or 4 million illegals who are voting. Because you know what? That's happening. They've already found it in Colorado, Virginia, Florida, dead people and illegals being registered to vote.
It would be ridiculous to think that Donald Trump may lead an armed insurrection because he didn't like the what are they trying to portray? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Let's go back to 2004, right? Here's some thoughts on John Kerry, who wanted and called that election rigged. You got track five ready? Let's listen to this.
A profile of Secretary of State John Kerry published Sunday in The New Yorker reveals that 11 years after his election loss to George W. Bush in 2004, Kerry still believes he was robbed via systematic fraud. The article itself, written by David Remnick, focuses mostly on Kerry's efforts to achieve peace and democracy in the Middle East, but it also dwells extensively on his presidential defeat more than a decade ago. In 2004, when Kerry lost the presidential race to George W. Bush, who is widely considered the worst president of the modern era, he refused to challenge the results, despite his suspicion that in certain states, particularly Ohio, where the Electoral College count hinged, proxies for Bush had rigged many voting machines, Remnick writes.
All right, so this is not anything new about presidential contenders contesting or not conceding in at least immediately. And you're right. They want to make it look like Trump's going to lead the armed insurrection against Hillary if she is somehow wins. Bull. Because you know what? They should have asked Hillary that, because you know what's going to happen. If Donald Trump wins, you're going to see violence across the nation as the Black Lives Matter people and these paid Soros people go out and start demonstrating and burning buildings and calling the election rigged. But they didn't ask it of Hillary. They just asked it of Donald Trump to try and make him look bad.
Yeah. And you reminded me, when you say that, you reminded me of the paid demonstrators that we recently saw in the Veritas videos.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that gets glossed.
And if you haven't seen them, go to thedailydrift.com. I got them on there a couple days ago. Let's take a quick call from Joe before we run out of time. Joe from Wyandotte, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. I heard Ed mention me about talking about signs earlier in the day, and I think it was Ed that mentioned about the signs being vandalized, or wasn't sure if that was you or somebody else. But
probably different, Ed. He's shaking his head at me.
Been. But, I mean, Jeff's running into that, too. His signs are being stolen and not taken down. He's trying to put some back up. But Dingell seems to be not even contesting this election. She's overconfident. And we have a chance to pull off an upset in this district because it's such a strange election cycle. We only need a few Democrats to vote that worker party like Jeff was talking about, or a few to just sit home, or and just a few more to cross over, because those are two for votes. Every vote that goes away from the Democrat, that's one less for them and one more for us. It's like a twofer.
Yeah, you got
but
it.
If you've got a All location right. where we could put up a 4x6 sign, please go to JeffJonesForCongress.com. Click the contact button. Let us know the great location where we can put up those 4x6s and help us get this election.
All right. You got it. Well, thanks for the call, Joe, and we will see you guys next week. Until then, go to thedailydrift.com and get the news you need.
Have a blessed day.
See you.